Thank you for being here tonight. We are truly grateful for the presence of all of you who made it back from the morning worship service. I had mentioned to you this morning that my lesson tonight is actually entitled, Four Bible Fools. Now, a lot of people, when they see a title like that, and they say, well, who is able to declare one to be a fool? You know, when you read the Holy Scriptures, you find Jesus saying to call no man a fool. Now, when you harmonize that with other passages, and certainly like the book of Psalms 14, verse 1, that says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. We know that there are foolish people in our world, and you probably wonder why I would preach a sermon on the subject, fools. Is because you may not be a fool, but, you know, it would be very easy for us to become foolish. And God indicted one, and Jesus even called a man a fool one time when he talked about the rich man of Luke chapter 12, how he was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns, and he said, I can then bestow all of my goods and fruit. And Jesus said, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, we always talk about the various words for the word love in the Old and New Testament, and especially in the New Testament, the various different types of love that are described in the Bible. But the same thing is true with the word fool. Not every time you see that word does it mean the same thing. And actually, when Jesus used the word, when he says, you know, call no man a fool, what he is saying is that that word fool meant worthless. That is, you don't say about another individual that he is worthless because Christ went to the cross and shed his blood and was raised from the dead to remind all of us that we're not worthless. We're not. We had a dog one time named Worthless, and he was worthless. But I can tell you there is no human being on the face of God's good earth that is worthless. For Christ paid the price for your sin and for mine. I was reading a little thing the other day that said that 99% of the people in the world are fools, and the rest of us are in great danger actually of giving prey to it ourselves, contagion. You know, and it is so easy, isn't it, for us? I read one the other day that said that there are more fools than there are people in the world. I doubt that one very, very seriously. But what is the definition of a fool anyway? Well, let me tell you tonight, and we'll eventually get down to the part where I will actually name and tell you who the four fools are that we read about in the Bible. But I would tell you that fools are those who hate knowledge. You know, Paul said one time of his own Jewish brethren that they are ever learning but never coming to the truth because they were foolish. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you try to talk to people about God or talk to them about anything, and they feel that they have already mastered it. They have already comprehended everything there is to know, only to find out that they were fools. That they were fools. Even one of God's servants said, I have played the part of the fool. Listen to Proverbs 1, verse 22. If you didn't bring your Bible, you can shift your eyes up here. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Sometimes people feel that they've acquired all the knowledge they need to know about everything, and they say, don't confuse me with the facts. I'm already happy the way that I am. You know, through the years, and I can say this sincerely, I think that there have been times when I actually counseled a few fools. They acted foolish, not that they were worthless. I'm not saying that. But they acted foolish. Their actions exposed who they really were. But then in Proverbs 10 and 14, Solomon made this statement that the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin, and he does. Now, when you think about the one that wrote these words, was probably the wisest man who ever lived except our Lord Jesus Christ, and that was Solomon. For you remember many, many years ago, God told Solomon that he would give him the desires of his heart of all things, and we always say, well, Solomon wanted wisdom. But that's not really what the Scripture says. We have come to accept that by saying, well, it was wisdom. But actually, Solomon said that he might have an understanding heart to judge the people of God. And that really and precisely is what he said. But secondly, fools bring shame to their loved ones. A wise son, he says, will make a father glad, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother, Proverbs 10:1. Or a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him, that same book, chapter 17 and verse 25. So there are a lot of fools out there in the world, people who act foolish and people who confirm that they're foolish by the way that they talk and the way that they act. But thirdly, fools make light of sin and evil. You know, I have had the opportunity as a minister of the gospel of Christ through the years to preach the gospel and share the word of God with a lot of people. But so many of those people scorn what you teach and what you present unto them from the word of God. They don't want to learn, and they make light of sin, and they make light of evil. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom, Proverbs 10 and verse 23. How can you spot a fool? You know, if you're really talking about that word and the way people act, you know, how can you know that a person is a fool? Well, the Bible actually teaches that he's not really fit for honor. He's not. He needs firm correction. He is not to be trusted. His parables or the words that he speaks are just lame words. They're not really worth anything at all. His folly is a lose-lose battle or situation. And giving honor unto that fool will cause a backfire. It really will. He will receive his just recompense of rewards. And the fool is one. He returns to his own folly, Solomon said, even though it's foul. And there is hope through repentance and renewed mind in the Messiah. Now, people can change. You know, we talk about the fact that there are fools in the world, but you don't have to stay foolish. I tell you, the greatest fool in the world is the man who stays a fool. You can change your behavior. And the simple fool lacks discernment, oversimplifies his view of life and living, and fails to recognize a cause and effect of whatever it may be. He is easily captivated by those things that are wrong. He is dangerously immature. He is extremely gullible and intensely curious in life about a lot of things. Well, the wise of heart will receive the commandments, but a babbling fool, and here's where God actually calls a man a fool, will come to ruin, Proverbs 10 and verse 8. You can't reason with a fool because fools are unreasonable. But then in Proverbs, the 13th chapter and verse 20, walk with the wise and you become wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. That's why your mom told you when you were much, much younger to don't run with the wrong crowd. I wondered for a long, long time who the wrong crowd was. But I soon come to believe that the wrong crowd could be anybody who is opposed to God and who could lead me astray from what I know to be right according to God's holy word. Fools, fourthly, don't control their tongue. Now, if I hadn't got you before now, perhaps maybe this is an area where you're having difficulty. He who has knowledge spares his words. Don't say a lot. I've had people tell me, you know, a certain individual is an individual of a few words. Good man, but one of few words. Maybe that's the way that we all ought to live our lives. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. He doesn't get upset. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. And when he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 and verse 28. Now, I want to tell you quickly tonight, and we've got about another 8 minutes here. Don't get edgy. Who those four fools are that we read about in the Bible, one of them happens to be the atheistic fool. You know, I don't know how anyone could deny the existence of God. When you look at our world and the creativity and the mighty hand of God that rules this universe, how in the world could you deny that there's a God? We sing the song, My God, He is Alive, as I mentioned this morning, and it's a great hymn. Brother A.W. Dykus is the man who wrote that song, and he is the individual, by the way, you have a turn signal on your car. He is the one, he lives in the state of Georgia, has recently died, but he was the one who actually designed the blinker on your automobile. Now, but he had greater insight about who God is. And he wrote that song, Our God, He is Alive. But in the book of Proverbs, Psalms 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. In Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1, the scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. I'm told that the captain actually of the Artemis II that is now getting ready to circle the moon is a very faithful member of the Lord's church. And Carolyn, I think you told me that you were acquainted with him, you and Paul, and that's a great thing. I thought one of the things I thought was so impressive about this individual is that the news media was saying that he took communion, carried it with him, that he could take it on the Lord's Day. I suppose he probably is the only astronaut, member of the Lord's church, that ever took communion in lunar orbit. But he did. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, the Bible refers to some who profess themselves to be wise, but they became fools. Well, you can say you're wise all day long, and you can say it, but you know what? Any man that does not accept Christ as Lord and Savior is acting foolish. He is. He denies the fact that there is a God, but God is very much alive. And Paul was right when he said on Mars Hill, in him do we live and we move and we have our very being. Acts chapter 17. But the fool said, there's no God. I've had the opportunity through the years to baptize men who were atheists at one time. One doctor who declared himself to be an atheist, but later found out that there is a God, and there is a God denied, and I'm so thankful. No one loves you more than the God you do not believe in. For all these people, it amazes me sometimes, all these people that say that there is no God, how interesting it is that when they come to the cessation of life or the close of their life, they sin. I was telling Ben this. Not only do they sin for him, but they also sin for me. And they want me to come and kind of offer last rites, I guess. I'm happy to go into the home of anyone or to go to the hospital. I've done it many, many times and stood by individuals when they drew their last breath and the angels of God bore their spirit into the presence of God, as was the case with Lazarus. But no one loves you more than the God that you cannot see, that you cannot feel, that you cannot hear audibly. I believe he speaks our heart and to our mind, and I think we can hear that. But then there is the rich fool. How would you describe a rich fool? A rich fool is a man who has all the money in the world at his disposal, but he doesn't love God. He's not concerned about anything but material wealth. He is, according to Christ in Matthew 16:26, he says, "What is a man to profit if he gains the whole world and then loses his own soul?" Or 1 Timothy 6, "To charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not heady or high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches." Anyone who trusts in uncertain wealth, and it is uncertain, isn't it? How many of you would have thought that you were paying over $4 for a gallon of gas this time last year? That's how uncertain life is. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what happens a year from now. But don't trust in uncertain riches. And then in Luke 12, where God calls that man a fool, he is a rich fool. He has barns. He has plenty of barns. He has money. He has material objects that no one else has. But God says, you know what? The success of your life is not born out in what you have. It's not relegated to what you own. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Wouldn't that be a hard thing to accept if you were focused on the wrong thing? Now, we know that's parabolic in nature, and Jesus is telling that parable, but he tells it for us to understand and comprehend what he really is saying. That it is a foolish thing for an individual who knows that his soul is going to be required of him to continue to live for this world instead of really living for God. And then there is the one that we call the wise fool. How can a man be wise and be a fool at the same time? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them that I never knew you." And then in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, those people who think that preaching the gospel is a foolish thing, God said, "It pleased God that the foolishness of preaching was used to save them that believe." They're wise in their own conceit, and they're wise in their own way. And the Bible says of that way in Proverbs 12:15, that the way of a fool seems right unto him, but a wise man seeks advice. And he does. Someone said one time, "Don't try to make a fool out of me. I'm doing all right by myself." You ever seen people like that? I have. And it's a sad thing, really. But then there is what we call the ignorant Christian fool. Now, what in the world would I be talking about if I were talking about the ignorant Christian fool? A person could be a Christian but still act very foolish. And he could talk very foolish. And he does. The Bible says we're to walk as wise, redeeming the time, Ephesians chapter 5. And we're to be growing, but many are declining in their faith. And before you know it, you leave God. And it's very easy. And the reason I said at the very beginning of the lesson tonight, why would I preach a lesson on this? Because it'd be very easy for you to be led astray. It'd be easy for me to be led astray. We're all vulnerable. And so we have to have lessons that encourage us and stimulate us to stay close to God. In the book of Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6, the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of wisdom. You know, Solomon said to get wisdom above all things. Get wisdom and use it. And James says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men and upbraids not. You know, sometimes we act foolish. There was a man one time named John who worked in a hospital, actually, and a patient knocked over a cup of water which spilled on the floor beside the patient's bed. And the patient was afraid he might slip on the water if he got out of bed, so he asked a nurse's aide to mop it up, if she would. And the patient didn't know it, but the hospital policy said that small spills in the hospital were the responsibility of nurse's aides, while the large spills would be mopped up by the hospital's housekeeping group. Well, the nurse's aide decided the spill was a large one, and she called the housekeeping department. A housekeeper arrived and declared that the spill was a small one, not a large one, and there was an argument that ensued. One said, "Well, that's not my responsibility," or so the nurse's aide said, "because it's a large puddle of water." And the housekeeper did not agree. "Well, that's not mine," she said. "The puddle is too small." And the exasperated patient listened for them going back and forth for a period of time. Then he took a pitcher of water from his night table and poured the whole thing on the floor. And he said, "Is that a big enough puddle now for you two to decide?" he asked. It was, and that was the end of the argument. You know, that perhaps might have been a foolish thing to do in one way, but probably wisdom on his part also. They got the spill up. You know, in life, it's easy for us to be foolish. I hope tonight, as we look at our own lives, that we will endeavor to be not a foolish Christian. Matter of fact, Paul says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And I'm sure that there were so many times in the life of this grand apostle that he wrote to brethren concerning the way that they were living and preaching about the way they were living. I hope tonight that you understand that life and time are gifts of God. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil, Paul writes in Ephesians 5. Therefore, he says, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, don't be a fool, follow the rules. And the rules are found in this book, the Bible. That's the commandments of our God. And don't waste your time. Put God first in all things. That's one of the wisest things you'll ever do in your life. Don't put God on the back burner somewhere, but you put him foremost in your life. We're going to sing a song of encouragement tonight. Dwight has selected, and if there be those tonight who feel maybe that there have been times you've acted foolishly and you want the prayers of the Lord's church here to help you be restored in a relationship with God, or if you're not a Christian and you've never been baptized for the remission of sin, then the gospel of Jesus is still the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, according to Mark chapter 16. So let us stand and let us sing.